and he read from the scroll of Isaiah. Well, this is after that. We get a clue as to who Jesus really is. In fact, we get these declarations from the demons as to who Jesus is. The Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. That's who Jesus is. And we get to see a glimmer or a glimpse of what's to come because of what Jesus does. Here, we first see Jesus teaching in the synagogue, casting out demons, and healing the sick. And here we see something else, something that's a little bit different from what we saw in Nazareth, about what the Son of God encounters in this world. This Holy One of Israel, the long-promised Messiah, encounters a world not just filled with unbelief, as he heard in Nazareth, but the problems that Jesus encounters today are problems that stem from sin in a different way, problems of sickness and demon possession. They're symptoms of a broken creation. First, we see this high fever of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And then we hear of all the others who are brought to Jesus, whose physical sickness portends what we all fear about sickness. It's a precondition of death, physical death. And throughout the scriptures, sickness and death seem to go hand in hand. Different degrees of a broken creation, a creation that's groaning in its separation from its creator. The second malady that we see here today is one that we don't often think about ourselves, I guess. Demonic possession. It seems as if the kingdom of Satan here has usurped control of people. As one of my seminary professors says about these events, one gets the impression that when Jesus, the Holy One of God, comes into the world as the incarnate Son of God, he begins his public ministry. It's as if the gates of hell are opened and many satanic angels are attacking God's human creatures. But the timing here is very surprising. Because you see in the Old Testament, the defeat of Satan and the defeat of death itself comes at the end of time, the last day, when the glorious kingdom of God and his reign on earth is depicted as just happening all at once. The last day, kingdom come. Well, certainly, at least the demons are surprised, for they know who Jesus is. They're the first ones to call him the Holy One of God. The prophet Isaiah used this term for the Messiah of God, God himself, the Redeemer, 26 times. You'll find it especially in chapter 43 of Isaiah. You'll find it also in Psalm 71, where God himself is our Redeemer. God himself, one and the same as the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. That's who Jesus is. But suddenly, tomorrow starts today with Jesus, that this end time reign of God comes to Galilee. It comes into human history in this specific time, in this specific place in Capernaum. That's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. When we pray that, we're praying for God's kingly rule, his actual reign here on earth, the reign of God the Father over his creation. And this is surprising good news. Because the future reign of God, the reign of Christ Himself, breaks in ahead of time. Tomorrow is here today. It's no wonder the demons were caught off guard. The Holy One of God invades His creation, His broken creation, in advance. And the actions of Jesus show the presence of God active with His people right away. He rebukes the demons. He rebukes the illness. Drives them both out. And He preaches the good news that the kingdom of God is here in His presence. It is here to stay. We hear the authority of Jesus' word. We hear what He has to say, and it happens. He commands the demon to be silent and to leave the man, and he does, and the demon does, without harming the man. He rebukes the fever, and Simon Peter's mother-in-law gets up and starts serving him. And this uncleanness, you notice the spirit here is... The demon here is called a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. Uncleanness. This is a huge concept in the Old Testament, where God is separated from His people by their uncleanness. And Leviticus says, what, 5 or 6 chapters, just on how to deal with uncleanness. So the dwelling of the Lord will not depart from us, and so you won't be driven out of the camp where the Lord is. Or He will not destroy you. So when we confess in the creed, we are by nature sinful and unclean, this is what He's talking about. And this is what Jesus comes to cure and fix. Our uncleanness. And He does that not just by speaking a few words in Capernaum 2,000 years ago, but by speaking His holy words to you and me today. By washing us in the rebirth of baptism with His Holy Spirit. Luke contrasts here the Holy Spirit that is with Jesus with this unclean spirit. We get the Holy Spirit at baptism. And we receive that forgiveness too in the sacrament of Holy Communion. That's why it's called Holy Communion, certainly not unclean communion, but Holy Communion. That's what we receive. The holiness that allows us to stand before God and at the last day to stand face to face with God, as was read earlier. Face to face with the Holy God made clean as we are holy. With that sin and guilt and that sickness, and yes, even that death removed from us. That is His promise. That is what Jesus came to declare. That is what Jesus came to bring in His holy word and in His actions, then and today. And He brings it to us today. Our tomorrow begins today because He has brought it already to us. We see it. We see it in some acts of love. As was read earlier in the epistle. Love is what Jesus brings. Acts of love that defy death itself. Acts of love which last beyond the grave into our new life. Acts of love which may be as seemingly small as filling some bags for some homeless people. Or acts of love, like taking care of someone who you love. You know this in your own heart. That these acts of love in your life today are what really last. That last beyond the grave to the life everlasting. All because of what Jesus brings to you today. Your tomorrow begins indeed today in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.